You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
I believe He's all we need. I believe He's our healer, our Savior. Hallelujah. My portion. I'm singing that to myself today. Amen. Hallelujah. And nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you. Hallelujah. Anybody ever believe for anything that seemed impossible? Anybody still believing for some things that seem impossible? Hallelujah. Keep right on believing. Hallelujah. Because I believe that you're more than enough for me, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe you hold my world in your hands. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Hallelujah. That He holds our world in His hands. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord today in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. I love praise and worship. I love the Spirit of God. I love that moments of just time with Him. Amen. Time in praise and worship and in fellowship with the Lord. We truly don't give Him the praise He deserves. Daily. He loaded, the scripture says, daily He loadeth us with benefits. Hallelujah. And He deserves all of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chris needs a touch this morning. Hallelujah. A couple of you ladies go back and lay hands on Chris this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we speak to the rhythms of her heart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare healing. We declare balance right now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Kuranda mokusi katalala mohandai. Rimamamahandai shikatalala mohandai. Father, we declare healing and power in might, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we speak to the heart. Hallelujah, Lord, we speak to the heart. We speak to the heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we believe your word. We believe that you're the healer today, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, we speak life in Jesus' name. We speak healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. We give you glory and praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. We give you glory and praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else in here this morning need a touch? Hallelujah. There's healing in the house, amen? Hallelujah. Just reach out and receive it this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. One of a kind. Amen. Hallelujah. I love praise reports. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I give Him praise today. Aren't you thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit? It goes and works and moves in places that we don't even see it going or see it coming or know it's, but you know it's been there. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Hallelujah. You know, last Sunday we talked about, we've been talking about the different stages of the cross, the steps of the cross. And last Sunday we talked about Peter and talked about transition. I mean, Peter was transitioning from follower to leader. That's not always easy. Hallelujah. He was transitioning into a different stage. He was transitioning from a fisherman to a shepherd. Amen. Jesus originally called him and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But when he sits down with him on the shore and he's got bread and fish on the fire, he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Hallelujah. And three times he gives instruction to Peter. And then he also says to Peter, Peter, when you're old, another one will carry you to and from where you need to be and will dress you. And he said, this he gave him, he said to him, signifying what manner of death that he would die. How many know he prophesied and declared to Peter, he said, you're not going to die a young man. Amen. You're going to live and not die. Hallelujah. How many know there were some times in Peter's life when he was under fire, when he was under persecution, when he was sitting in the jailhouse and all of those kind of things. And I believe the word of the Lord came back to him and said, Peter, when you're old, you're not done yet. You're not finished yet. Hallelujah. The promise of God. How many know Peter was one of those guys that, man, what a life. That, you know, what a story of the life of Peter. And so parallels, I believe, a lot of us in our Christian walk. You know, you have the faith to believe. You receive the calling, all of those things. And Peter would have an understanding of Christ. And then Jesus would turn around and say, get behind me, Satan. And then the next thing you know, he'd be walking on the water. But then the next thing you know, he's going under the water. And then the next thing you know, he's catching fish. But then the next time he's not catching fish. And it seemed like that was the life of Peter. Amen. Anybody relate in here to Peter today? Hallelujah. But there came a time of transition in Peter's life. Amen. When Jesus comes back to him, gives him the Great Commission, transitions him from the realm of a follower to the realm of a leader. Hallelujah. And not just in by word, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a difference in just receiving a commission and being anointed to do so. Hallelujah. And so God transitions him and he calls him to be a shepherd to the people, shepherd my sheep, shepherd my lambs. Hallelujah. And he gives him a commission. How many know the disciples received a great commission? Go you into all the world and preach this gospel. What gospel? The gospel of Jesus, what you have seen and heard, the finished work of the cross, go into all the world and preach this gospel. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. How many know all of us in here today have received that same commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Hallelujah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and use words if necessary. I mean, your life and your lifestyle, your testimony is one of the greatest manifestations or greatest sermons, greatest testimony you'll ever give. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because you can't take away a person's testimony. When you know that you know that you know. Hallelujah. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I received the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember getting saved. I remember the presence of God coming into my life as a very small girl. I remembered it. I can show you the spot where it happened. Hallelujah. The couch is probably in a little different place now because it's in Tam and Andy's house, but I can tell you where it happened. I can tell you where I received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so you're never without, you know, you're never without a word. You know, people say sometimes, well, I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to preach. Tell what happened with you. Tell your experience. One of the greatest ways of conveying the word of God in your life is to tell your experience. Yeah. Amen. And what he's done for you. But what happens is God is transitioning them out of the realm of just follower into the realm of leader. And so we go out of the book of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And although they're New Testament, they're not fully New Covenant. I mean, no, everything before the cross is still Old Covenant. Everything after the cross is New Covenant. And so we transition into the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, or the Actions of the Apostles. How many know as Christians, there are some actions that follow. There are some things we operate in. There are some things we need to do. There are some things we're commissioned to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And to go into all the world. And so what we find is 50 days after Passover, it is what?
Pentecost.
And we look at Pentecost and we think that it's the upper room experience. And it is. It's the time of the Pentecost, the time of the upper room. Hallelujah. And so that's about the time period where these disciples are in when Jesus says to them, go into the upper room and tarry there. Stay there until you be endued with what? Power from on high. How many believe in the power of God? Hallelujah. I believe in the power of God. You know, when we did the services and stuff this week for Tom, before we finished it, we sang the song, "There is power in the blood." I don't know if you felt it, but I felt it. And it was as if Tom was singing with us on this week. He was singing, "There is power, power, wonder-working power." It's an old song, but it's still a good song. Amen. I still believe in the power of the blood. If you don't know anything else to say, you can plead the blood or say, I believe in the blood of Jesus. I believe in the power to save. I believe in the power to set free. I believe in the transformation, the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And so there is a power. There is a presence in God, that we can understand and experience the power that's in the blood. We are not powerless. No situation you've ever been in or ever will be in, are you powerless in that situation? Hallelujah. Because when you don't know what else to do, and even if you do know what else to do, you better be praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. You better be praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what that empowerment is for, the empowerment of God. But what happens is, what we want to look at here is 50 days after Passover. The Passover was commemorated or celebrated because it was the memorial of the passing of the Egyptian or the Israelites out of the Egyptian territory, leaving bondage and passing out of the Red Sea through the baptism of the Red Sea. Hallelujah. It was the blood on the doorpost. Not just the blood on the doorpost, but the lamb in the house. He said, when you take the lamb in the house and when you put the blood on the doorpost, he said, then when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Go ahead and get your shoes on your feet. Go ahead and get dressed. Get your staff in your hand, because when I pass over you, hallelujah, I'm going to lead you out of this land of bondage. I'm going to take you out of this land you were never meant to dwell in. I'm going to take you to a promised land. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, there's power in the blood. Hallelujah. And what happened is when the death angel passes over, it's not that he passed over that house with the blood on the doorpost, but what the death angel really understands is there's already been a death in this house. So there's no need to stop here. The blood's already there. I already see the blood. There's no reason to step here. Stop here. I'm going to pass on over this house. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the death angel and the sin and anything that the adversary would try to come against you, when he sees the blood applied to the doorpost to your house. How many know? Don't even bother knocking on the door. Don't bother stopping by, because there's already been a death executed here. The blood's already been applied. There's nothing here for you to touch. Yeah. Amen. The lamb's already been slain. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that is my exodus out of bondage, out of slavery, and out of sin. Hallelujah. 50 days after they left the Passover, after they left the land of Egypt, they came to the foot of Mount Sinai. I mean, remember what was done at Mount Sinai. The law was given. 50 days after Passover, they stopped at the foot of Mount Sinai and the law was given. When the law was given, 3,000 people died. Because when they lost faith in Moses on the mountain, they went down and said, we don't know where this man Moses is, so let's build us another god. Let's make us a golden calf. Aaron and you know, the people said, well, we collected all the gold, we put it all together, we threw it in the fire, and a calf jumped out. Amazing how that happens, isn't it? You tried it didn't work. We threw it in there, and all of a sudden, a golden calf jumps out. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, when the law was given, death happens. But 50 days after a resurrection, 50 days after the Passover was celebrated with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, all of a sudden now we're in an upper room on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost comes, and guess what? Instead of 3,000 people dropping dead, all of a sudden 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where the disciples are on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost is about to come. There's about to be a Holy Ghost party. The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Hallelujah. Go ahead and bring up Jeremiah 31 for me, Stephanie. There is no party like a Holy Ghost party. Hallelujah. I mean, the effects of the Holy Ghost party don't wear off tomorrow morning with your strong black coffee. Hallelujah. Dan and I went out to dinner the other night, and there was a table beside of us having conversation way more louder than they should have been. And this person was telling the story about his first time having a drink and on a cruise ship. And he said they stand there waiting on him because at this, I guess at 18 in this particular place, you can drink instead of waiting until you're 81. So all the kids get off the bus, off the boat at 18, and they all go to drink. What'd I say? It ought to be 81, 18 or 81. 18 or 21. You don't have to be 21. And so then they all get off the bus and they all make this exodus to this bar. And this guy, I guess the bartender, fills all these drinks. And they carry these guys back on the bus. And they have a station ready for them of strong black coffee, food, and a place for them to lay till they sober up. Then they put them back on the boat. I'm thinking, you know, the best thing to do would probably be about the time they step out of that one place, put them on that boat that starts going like this, rocking back and forth. Amy's talk about having to have the strong back coffee and the, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, what a party. You spend all that money to go on that cruise ship to have a good time, and now you're laying on the floor drinking black coffee trying to see straight. There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Hallelujah. It won't rob you of your senses. It won't leave you having to sober up with black coffee in the morning. It won't lead you to do anything that you wouldn't do sober or otherwise. Hallelujah. I mean, the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I wonder, it is what we're looking for outside of the presence. What is it that Holy Ghost filled Christians need outside of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to be your everything? Amen. Jeremiah 31:31 says, that's right. The time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant with Israel and Judah. I won't be a repeat of the covenant. It won't be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, even though I did my part as their master, God's decree. This is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel. When the time comes, I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer go around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They'll know me firsthand, the dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned. God's decree. I mean, God prophesies through the prophet Jeremiah and says, the time will come where it will not be by the letter of the law, but I will write my law in their heart. Yep. Hallelujah. And the King James, I believe, says, in their sins I will remember no more. Go with me to Acts chapter 2 this morning. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. And we're just going to read that there for a little bit. Yep. Hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, everybody say fully come. Fully come. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. You know what happens when everybody gets in one accord in one place? The Holy Ghost starts to operate. Did you hear me? When we all get into one accord in one place, the Holy Ghost takes over. The Holy Ghost begins to operate. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now in Mount Sinai, God begins to prepare Moses, and Moses makes more than one trip up and down the mountain, and he takes the 70 elders at one point, and he's by himself at one point. And God, he says, prepare the people, he said, because I'm going to come down and sit upon the mountain. And the scripture says when God comes down to sit upon the mountain, there's fire, there's thunder, there's smoke, there's loud voices. There's so that such that the people were fearful and didn't even want to hear anymore because of the terror. And he said, if anybody touches this mountain, they'll surely die. Hallelujah. How many know when God appeared to them in the mountain with the fire and the smoke and the sound of the rushing wind and all those kind, and the law came, they were fearful. But on the day of Pentecost, in an upper room, when there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein, we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Hallelujah. How many know when the Holy Ghost speaks, everybody understands? When truly we are speaking out of the realm of the Holy Spirit, when the anointing and the power of God is speaking, it's a language that everybody can understand. And I'm not just talking about or talking in tongues, but I'm talking about the divine impartation and revelation that the Holy Spirit gives. You know, we won't have to wonder if people are going to understand this, because the scripture says that the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. It is your comforter. It is your guide. It is what opens the scriptures to you. It's what causes the things of God to come alive. I told you before, when I go down the road, the Holy Ghost will start speaking to me. I got to figure out some way to start recording what's going on in my head while I'm driving, so I don't have to reach over and get an ink pen and scratch it on the back of a McDonald's receipt or something. But you know, the Holy Ghost will start speaking to me. Anybody ever have that happen to you? Sometimes you got to get someplace by yourself and get your mind off of everything else. And as I do, the Holy Ghost will start speaking to me. And I'll think, well, that's good. Got to write that down. I got to remember that. I'll write that down. I got to remember that and write that down. The Holy Ghost will speak in a language that you understand. Amen. It will speak in a language that you understand. Now, I'm not saying that they weren't speaking in tongues. And, you know, when we begin to pray in our prayer language and begin to manifest God and speak to God in tongues and things like that, how many, there's an empowerment in that? It's the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. But God began to do something among these 120 sitting in an upper room on a day of Pentecost. And what he did was of the Spirit and not of the law. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is to the new covenant what the law was to the old covenant. Do you hear me? The Holy Spirit is to the new covenant what law, it's the empowerment of the new covenant. The Holy Spirit is the empowerment of the new covenant what law was the empowerment of the old covenant. Hallelujah. And so no longer are we sitting under that letter that killeth, but now under the Spirit that gives life. It is a life-giving Spirit. Hallelujah. And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing that is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. I love this. Out of 120 people in that upper room, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. Peter, who denied him and was afraid and fearful and fled from the foot of the cross. Peter, who thought, said, Lord, I'll fight with you. I'll go with you all the way. Peter, who gets out the sword. He's ready to cuts off the ear of Malchus. He's ready to fight, and he's unpredictable, and he's not sure how this is all going to pan out, but he has an encounter with Jesus on a shore one day. After his denial, Jesus meets with him and says, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. Hallelujah. But see, there's something different when the Holy Ghost comes. You may find yourself wishy-washy and tossed to and fro and roundabout and back and forth. But when the Holy Ghost comes, how many know there's a Holy Ghost backbone that comes? There's a Holy Ghost anointing. There's a Holy Ghost revelation that comes. And all of a sudden, in one accord, in one place, in an upper room on the day of Pentecost, after the empowerment of the Holy Ghost comes, and they begin to say, what's going on here? So we can hear them speaking, and we're understanding the things of God in our own language. They're speaking our language. They're speaking a language we can understand what's going on here. And some said, nah, they're just drunk. And he said, we're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that. What you're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, today is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters. How many know that's a different revelation? Your young men and your handmaidens, that's a different revelation. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. How many know this is an inclusive gospel? The old covenant was an exclusive system. Under the Holy Ghost, it's an inclusive system. All of a sudden, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter gets some Holy Ghost backbone in him. Peter gets some revelation. All of a sudden, he gets a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation of the word, and stands up and said, men and brethren, let me talk to you for a moment. We're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that. Hallelujah, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. How many know it was not possible that death could hold him? For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy in thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this, therefore spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and sent unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. 3,000 souls. How many know we're looking at a different covenant? We're looking at a different system. Peter begins to stand up on the day of Pentecost and said, men and brethren, this Jesus whom you crucified, he is alive and well. And he begins to quote the scriptures of Joel and Psalms and the words of David and saying, all things have come to pass concerning him. Hallelujah. And as he begins to preach the message of Christ and him crucified, the scripture says, and they were pricked in their heart and said, what shall we do? Hallelujah. He said, repent. Make change. Change your mind. Change your direction. Change your way of thinking. Repent and be baptized and receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I mean, no, that's a different Peter than what we saw a few chapters back. The power of the Holy Ghost in you to anoint you, to bring to your remembrance the words which he spoke, to understand. How many know they were firsthand witnesses of the resurrection, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. On over in a couple chapters, we see where Peter is on the roof. And he has a vision. He dreams a dream or a vision. And he says he sees a blanket or a sheet let down. And it has all kinds of animals on that sheet. And in the dream, it speaks to him and says, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, no, not so, Lord. This good Jewish boy has never eaten anything that's not kosher. And God speaks to Peter and says, don't call anything that I have called clean, common, or unclean. And about that time, there's a knock on a door from a man named the servant of Cornelius, knocking on the door, say, Peter, could you come and just tell us what's been going on in Jerusalem? What's been happening? Come tell us what we're hearing. Is this the truth? How many know God sends Peter down to the house of the Gentile, which again was out of character. It's not kosher. It would not been allowed. He goes down to the house of Cornelius. They're all so hungry about what they've been hearing that's going on and happening. Tell us about this Jesus. Tell us about this crucifixion. Tell us about the resurrection. Tell us what's been happening in Jerusalem. And Peter begins to just say to them what? His testimony. He begins to share with them what he's experienced, what he's encountered. And all of a sudden, the scripture says, the Holy Ghost falls on the Gentiles. They start to speak in tongues. Revival breaks out in the most unheard of, most unthought of, most ungodly place. And all of a sudden, Peter finds out if you'll just preach Christ, the Holy Ghost will fall. And when the Holy Ghost falls, people get changed. I say to you this morning, if we would just preach the gospel, the good news of the message of Jesus Christ, if we'll just declare the finished work of Calvary, no more, no less. How many know it's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus and the finished work of the cross of Calvary. And if we'll just declare that what he did at the cross was enough, and it was for whosoever will. The scripture says the Holy Ghost falls on the Gentiles. They start speaking in tongues, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now Peter's got to go back to the Jewish council and explain what in the world he's doing down at the house of Cornelius, what he's doing preaching to the Gentiles, and whatever is going on now that the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost. Peter goes back to him and says, I don't know what to tell you. All I know to tell you is I preached Christ and the Holy Ghost fell. I had nothing to do with it. I just preached Christ and the Holy Ghost fell. Hallelujah. I believe if we'll just get the same mentality and mindset of Peter, I'm just here to tell you what I know. I'm just here to tell you about a risen Savior. I'm just here to tell you about the power of the cross. And if you'll hear the word and receive, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost falls. The Holy Ghost comes in. The Holy Ghost comes out. And all of a sudden we find out that God does what God wants to do. And it's not about me any longer. And it's not about my strength or about my works, but it's what the power of God in me can do. Hallelujah. You know, metanoia. Turn to something.
And then he said that was added. The old covenant subtracted and disqualified, but the new covenant adds and multiplies. Hallelujah. God said that he's just going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. He's not excluding anybody. We are an inclusive people, a gospel that preaches to whosoever will. Every man's welcome to the kingdom of God. Just let the Holy Ghost work in them. Just let the
Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If we'll quit calling them and labeling the clean and the unclean. I mean, Peter had God had to deal with Peter's mentality of clean and unclean. Any of you have been there? You know, we can look at Peter, but... Pardon?
I was afraid of the Holy Ghost. I watched it, and I was afraid of it, and I'll never forget the day your dad said, over, I think over here, in the older church, and he said, you know, well, people, what it is, it's a gift. It's not something to throw at you. It's a gift from God. And I received the Holy Ghost and spoke in it. And it's the most awesome thing. It'll give you strength when you need it. It'll tell you exactly what to say. It's an awesome thing. It's alive. It is the Spirit of God alive in us.
Amen. Amen. It is the power of God, the empowerment of God in our life. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Ghost has got a bad rap.
Yes, it did. It did.
Because of some, you know, it gets labeled a whole lot of things, you know. People who are spirit-filled, I'll just say it like that, get called holy rollers. I'd like to see that sometime, the holy rollers. I mean, I've seen them hit the ground. I've seen them roll a little bit. But hey, if the Spirit wants to move and cause some holy rollers, I'm okay with that. Amen. I've seen the real and I've seen the unreal. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost won't mislead you. It won't, you know, it's the greatest GPS system that there is. You know, I hear people, and I say this all the time, and you guys know this already. People say to me, you know, we get caught up about sin or what's sin, what's right, what's wrong. Should I do this? Should I do that? Well, it's not really my call. And I'll say to them, if it's okay with the Holy Spirit, it's okay with me. So if you can get past the Holy Ghost, it's okay with me, because the Holy Ghost won't lie to you. It won't lead you astray. It won't tell you wrong. If you sincerely will ask the Holy Ghost, it's a spirit of truth. Amen. And it will lead and guide you into all truth. We have that empowerment, the Holy Ghost living and dwelling and moving in us. Amen. We've not come to Mount Sinai. We've come to Mount Zion. Yes. Hallelujah. At Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died. At the day of Pentecost, the New Jerusalem, Mount Zion, how many know 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom? Pastor Shirley just told you it's not a subtraction anymore, and the death and the dying that happened at Sinai, but it's an addition and multiplication. Hallelujah. The government of grace by the Holy Spirit. Go to Hebrews 12, 18 through 29, and I'm going to read that to you. Hallelujah. For this says, for you have not come, okay? You have not come unto a mount that might be touched, that and that burned with fire, and unto blackness and darkness and tempest. That's not where you come. That's Mount Sinai. You didn't come to that mountain. Verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that no word more should be spoken unto them. They were fearful. If you read the scriptures back in Exodus, it says they were fearful when God came to the mountain. They shuddered. They shook. They were afraid. Verse 20. For they could not endure that which was enjoined. If even a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are, you know, and what's sad about that, there are people still living at that mountain. There are still people at the foot of that mountain that still live in fear and quake of God and afraid of the wrath and the judgment of God and living every day in that fear of wrath and judgment. But Hebrews said, you didn't come to that. You didn't come to that mountain. That's not where you are. That's not who you are. Don't live in that mountain of Sinai. Don't live in that fear. But you're come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable host of angels. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, who enrolled in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. This is where you came. You didn't come to Mount Sinai. You come to Zion. You come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. Hallelujah. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall we not escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom, therefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace, whereby we may offer service, well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. I mean, it's not about an external fire anymore. But Jeremiah said, it's just like fire that's shut up in my bones. Our God is a consuming fire. Not a fire that consumes you, but a fire that lives and dwells and burns, that passion that burns within you. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago. The scripture says, and they were on the road to Emmaus, and they got a good case of heartburn. Amen. They got a good case of heartburn because he said, Jesus began to speak to them. And the scripture says, you know, he said to them, guys, what you talking about? And they said, well, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what things have been going on in Jerusalem for the last 3 days? And I just think Jesus has a sense of humor. I see him smiling all the time. And he looks back at these Cleopas and the guys on the road to Emmaus. And he says, Jerusalem, what things? What are you talking about? What things have been happening in Jerusalem? Because I believe and declare to you, we're still figuring out what things happen in Jerusalem in 3 days and three nights. And they said, you know, you must be a stranger. You don't know what's been going on. Jesus got his hands in his pockets so they don't see the nail prints in him. He says, no, what things? Tell me what you're talking about. And he begins, the scripture says, and he begins at Moses. And he begins declaring all things from Moses to the prophets and to the Psalms, all things. All things concerning himself. He preaches a 7.5-mile revelation of the work and person of Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he began to tell us all things concerning himself. Hallelujah. How many know there is a burn, a passion of the Holy Spirit inside of our heart that begins to be stirred when we hear the truth of the life of Christ, the power of the cross, and the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. There is a power that burns. It is a consuming fire, and that fire doesn't consume us. It consumes everything inside of us that's contrary to the thought and the power of the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to remind yourself that was taken care of at the cross. That was dealt with at the cross. My healing was at the cross. My salvation was at the cross. Hallelujah. He put all things under his foot at the cross. My judgment was at the cross. I didn't come to Mount Sinai. I come to Mount Zion. I come to innumerable company of angels, a host of the saints, of those made perfect. Hallelujah. I mean, Hebrews 11 before that, the last verse of Hebrews 11, before we get to Hebrews 12 says, and they without us cannot be made perfect, but they stand in an amphitheater. How many there were those who lived under an old covenant? who stood there waiting, anticipating, and Isaiah leans over the portals and the balconies of heaven when Jesus cries out, "It is finished," and high fives Moses and the rest of them and said, "There we go. That's the thing I've been waiting for. That's what makes us perfect." Hallelujah. As they stand there in the completion, Isaiah said, "I wasn't a false prophet." Moses said, "I didn't die short of the promise, but we received everything under the new covenant." Hallelujah. How many know we are amphitheatered about by the spirits of just men made perfect? Hallelujah. That are cheering us on. They're saying, "You got this same Holy Ghost in you. You got the power. You got the message. You got the revelation. Run. Run the race." Hallelujah. That's been set before you. We didn't come to Mount Sinai. We come to Mount Zion. We come to a place of empowerment. Hallelujah. We don't live under law and judgment, but we live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and of His grace. Go to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 7 for me, and I'm going to end with this one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greater than the government of law is the government of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The scripture says he concluded all under sin, that all could be made righteous, that all could be receive forgiveness and power. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18 says, "The government of death, its constitution chiseled on stone tablets." That means the law. Okay? So we're talking about the law here. We're talking about, we're still at Mount Sinai. We're still talking about the institution of the law at Mount Sinai. "The government of death, its constitution chiseled on stone," this is out of the Message Bible, "stone tablets, had a dazzling inaugural. Moses' face as he delivered the tablets was so bright that day that even though it would fade soon enough, that the people of Israel could no more look right at him than stare into the sun." How much more dazzling then the government of the living Spirit, the government of the Holy Ghost. How much more dazzling than the government of the living Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Verse 9. "If the government of condemnation was impressive, how about this government of affirmation?" How many know there's way more power in affirmation than there is in condemnation? See, you can spend all day condemning people and telling them what they're doing wrong, but the moment you start telling them what they're doing right, hallelujah, there's a change that takes place. See, this message of the gospel of grace works everywhere. It works in my classroom. They can totally be out of control. You know, we had like a substitute in this week, so the kids, they kind of operate a little bit different when you got a substitute and it's in the class than they do when what they know, what the regular teacher is going to require of them. And I look around and they're in chaos and I'm thinking, these kids know better than this. So all of a sudden, I look around in the room and I say, "Caleb, I like how you're sitting quiet. You're doing a great job, Caleb. I want you to go clip up on the clip chart. And all of a sudden, the whole class, I now have their attention, and everybody starts because they want that affirmation. They want the opportunity to clip up on the clip chart because there's rewards that comes with affirmation. There's rewards that comes with telling them you're doing a good job. So instead of me raising my voice and flipping out on the class and saying, "You all know better than this and you need to get in your seats and sit down," what I do is start looking for somebody who's doing what I ask them to do. And when I start affirming this one, all of a sudden this one gets her fingers on her lips and this one sits down in their seat, and all of a sudden I've got their attention, not with condemnation, but with affirmation. And I've learned to start calling forth that which is good out of them. And as I start to call forth what is good out of them, all of a sudden, they like the feeling, they like the rewards of affirmation. And I don't have to use condemnation as a manipulation to control people. I mean, no, condemnation is effective, but only for a short time. But if you can ever affirm somebody to the point where they feel like, "Hey, I can do this. Hey, I can do this." If you really get that affirmation in them, how many know when Jesus stood on the shore of with John the Baptist and he baptized him, the heavens opened. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And when he gets ready, he goes immediately into the wilderness. And when he goes into the wilderness, the enemy comes to him and says, "If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." But Jesus already had the power of affirmation that said, obviously, you didn't hear what my Father just said from the heavens about me. My Father already told me, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And stones were never meant to be turned into bread. Bread is bread. I am that bread which came down from heaven. And those stones will never be turned into bread. I have the affirmation from the Father. Every time the enemy comes, he says, if you be the Son of God, put yourself up on a high pinnacle and cast yourself down. If you be Son of God, cause all these to bow down before. He said, if you be, you must not have heard what my dad just said about me. I got my dad's approval. And when I got my dad's approval, I don't need anybody else's approval because I have approval from the Father. The power of affirmation. If you think the government of condemnation was impressive, how about this government of affirmation? Yep. Verse 10. Bright as that old government was, it would look downright dull alongside this new one. Hallelujah. If that makeshift arrangement impressed us, how much more this brightly shining government installed for eternity? With that kind of hope to excite us, nothing holds us back. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory of that covenant was fading. And they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now, that the glory of that system of condemnation, that glory has faded. Don't notice that there's nothing left behind that veil. Even today, when the proclamations of that old bankrupt government are read out, they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil so they can see for themselves that there's nothing there. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence. God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We are free of it. All of us, nothing between us and God, our face is shining with the brightness of His face, and so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. Hallelujah. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost does in you. It is the Spirit of God that enters your life, a living presence, that we become less like us and more like Him. Because our God is a consuming fire. We see that, we hear that preached sometimes and think, God is a consuming fire. How many know that's a fire from the inside out, not an outside in? Hallelujah. It's not a fire like on the mountain of Sinai that cannot be touched, but it's a living, breathing presence, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit of God that lives in you. Hallelujah. And that is that God. That is the direction. That is that life that's now lived in you. You live after the manner of the life of God through His Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, is to the new covenant what the law was to the old covenant. It is the strength of the new covenant to bring to pass everything. How many know under the old covenant it was all about what you did? Under the new covenant, it's all about what He did. And what He does through you. Hallelujah. It's no longer about what I did, but it's about what He did. Quit beating yourself up over things you can't control. All of us need to repent at times. Repent means to change our minds and to be to change towards something. It's not much. It's not just about what we turn from. It's about what we turn to. Hallelujah. The power of God in our lives is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. It's the power of Christ in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the power of Christ in you. You have, the scripture says, since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, wow, dwells in you and quickens and makes alive this mortal body. Hallelujah. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and his life in you. Amen? Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Amen. God bless you this morning.